This morning, I entitled my sermon, Wait, Don't Faint. Have you ever fainted in your life? I have, and it's not a good feeling. Fainting is not fun, and it actually be very dangerous. Did you know that fainting is responsible for up to 3% of emergency room visits? And up to 6% of hospital admissions each year, just because of fainting. People faint for many different reasons, but one of the most common ones for many people is faint when they see blood. It's very, very common, and it's more common with men than women for some reason. Women are much stronger. Men, we are very weak when it comes to blood. You see blood, you're done. You're gone. Did you know that about 15% of the population of this world has a problem with this? They faint when they see blood. 15%. I was in the delivery room with Beatrice both times, and especially the first time when I was in there, the nurse looked at me and she said, "Are you okay with blood?" I said, "Yeah, I am okay with blood." And she looked at me again and said, "Are you sure?" So yeah, I'm sure. I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, a lot of guys come into the delivery room, and when we ask them if they're okay with blood, they say yes, because they want to appear as heroes, macho men, you know? But then as soon as they see blood, they're gone, you know? They just faint." And she said, "Listen, I want you to make sure if you stay here, you don't have a problem with that, because then we as nurses have to go and take care of the husband while the wife is giving birth, so we don't have time for both. So you make sure." So I stayed both times. I was fine. I didn't faint. Thank you. Good job, somebody said that. Fainting can be very dangerous and spiritual. There are a lot of Christians that faint as well. There are a lot of spiritual fainting Christians, and we're going to talk about that today. I was reading about, have you guys heard about the Tennessee fainting goats? Fainting goats? You can watch online, they're really funny actually. Fainting goats. Don't search now on Google, all right? Go home. They're known by nervous goats, stiff leg goats, or wooden leg goats, or they're known Tennessee scare goats. And they faint. They have a disorder in their body. It's like it's a condition. It's a genetic disorder that at any little thing, if you scare them, say boo, and their legs stiffen up, and then boom, and they fall. They faint for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then they get up and nothing wrong, all right? And even if they get too excited, they faint. They can even faint when they get excited about being fed, all right? If you bring them food, they faint. And then in 4 or 5 seconds, they're up and they're fine. You know, and so it is very interesting. I was watching that, and I was thinking there are many Christians in the church like those fainting goats. There is a disorder in the church, a genetic disorder as well, that I called spiritual fainting Christians. Just like the fainting goats, many Christians faint under the circumstances and trials that come into their lives. Some will faint at the slightest move of the devil. Some will faint in the world just when the world waves a hand at them in some threatening manner, and that's it. They faint because something is threatening them. More than that, in the church itself, many Christians faint at any little problem that is going on in the church. They faint and fall out of the church because somebody says something to them that they didn't like. You know how many of those I know? A lot. They faint and fall out of the church because the preacher didn't shake their hand. Just because I was busy with somebody else and I didn't shake your hand, it doesn't mean you have to faint and leave the church. Many Christians today in the church, in our churches, they faint and fall out because the color of the carpet is wrong. Or the wrong song was sung during the song service. Or the Sabbath school teachers said something wrong. Or the their preacher said something wrong, or they were asked to do something they didn't want to, or they didn't get to do something they wanted to, etc., etc., etc. There are so many different reasons that in the church that Christians just faint and fall out of the church. I mentioned earlier that one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest reasons, causes of fainting is when people see blood. And it seems that that's a big problem in the church as well. There are many Christians who faint and fall out of the church when a sin is pointed out in their lives that they are guilty of. When they see blood, in other words, when they're shown the pure blood of Jesus Christ and they see their sinfulness, they don't like it and they faint and fall out of the church. I read an article by Jim May, and this is what he says about this problem. He says this: many Christians would swallow just about anything today except the true Word of God. It has become very hard for some of them to chew and swallow it. It has become too much for them. Try to teach them about living righteous and holy before God, and they will just faint right then and there. Powerful words. Try to preach repentance of sin and they will just stiffen up and faint right on the spot. We have to give them the potato chips and coke of the gospel, he says. Don't give them the hard meat of the gospel because their spirit just can't handle it and they will faint. Do you recognize yourself in this? In this quote? We are raising, he says, up a bunch of fainting goat Christians who have developed a spiritual disease that makes them stiffen up and fall out when anything too strong for them spiritually is fed to them. Oh, pastor, that was too strong, I hear. Ooh, you gave it to us today. Can you please preach something less strong and something about the love of God and love of Jesus and not the strong stuff? We can't swallow anymore the strong things. We can't eat the meat, the spiritual meat. We just want the coat and the potato chips of the gospel, because otherwise we will faint and fall out of the church because somebody points out something in my life that I need to change. Fainting Christians. There are lots of them in the churches. Proverbs 24 verse 10 says this: if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's the reason and why so many church people faint and fall out of the church. Their strength is small. So why do we have powerless Christians in the church? They don't have power. They don't have strength. Isaiah 40 shows it to us. So let's go back to Isaiah 40. And this time, we'll read together from verse 28 to verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. This is a very powerful, powerful passage. I've never preached just on this passage. I always touch on it and mention in other sermons, but never preached on it. So today I decided to do so. So verse 28, it's a question here. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither what? Faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30. Even the youth shall what? Faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You can see this word faint appears a few times in this passage. It's a very important thing in this passage. Our strength today as Christians is small. We are weak spiritually Because we are not renewing our strength. That's what the passage says. In verse 31 says, they shall what? Renew their strength. In other words, the strength of a fainting goat Christian is small because they just don't exercise those spiritual muscles. They don't renew their strength. It is too easy to be a bench warmer and a couch potato. It is very, very easy. It takes effort to exercise and develop a strong faith and close walk with Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of exercise. Ask those guys that are in professional sports. They practice 6 to 8 hours a day. That's how they get good at it. That's how they get strength, because they're practicing, they're exercising, those muscles. That's how you get spiritual strength as well. Isaiah 40:31 tells us that the way we can renew our strength and be stronger and become stronger is we must do only one thing. It says we need to wait on the Lord. That's it. It seems very strange. Because for us, waiting is what? Just sitting down and doing nothing. It's not activity. It's not active. But waiting on the Lord in the Bible is not passive. Waiting on the Lord is an active, it's an activity that we must do. If we could just learn to wait on the Lord all the time, there would be a whole lot fewer fainting Christians in our churches today. Isaiah 40:31 contains a great promise of strength for the weary. Any of you are weary today from the travels of the world? Absolutely. We're all weary and we're ready to faint almost under all the circumstances of life, but this verse gives us a great hope here. The Israelites who first received this promise, they were worn out from their hardship. They had lived in exile in Babylon for decades, and they were desperate there at this time. And by the time the Babylonian captivity was over, the Israelites, they have lost their perspective of what God can do for them. This is what we see in verse 27. If you go in chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 27, and this is what it says here. It's in a form of a question. It says, why do you say, O Jacob, or why do you say, Israel, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? So the prophet is asking, why are you guys saying, in other words, why are you saying that God is not there for you? God is not there for me. They lost the perspective of who God is. The Jews were exhausted and burdened from the circumstances of life, so they needed a new perspective. And most of us today need a new perspective as well, who God truly is. And this is what God offers to them right in the beginning of verse 31. When God promises to them, what was the first promise? It says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And the first promise was what? They shall mount on wings like eagles. So what is this promise to them? Remember, they have lost the perspective of who God was. They thought that God is not there for them anymore. He's not helping them. He's not caring for them. And God needed to give them a new perspective. Now, when you mount on wings like eagles, what do you see from the top? We call it a bird's eye view. A bird's eye view. From here, you can't see much, but you need to go higher. That's where you can see the whole picture. Israelites saw only a piece of the picture, piece of the problem, and they saw their troubles, and that really darkened their perspective about God. And God says, I need to give you a new perspective. I need to give you an eagle's view. That's why I'm going to take you on eagle's wings, and now you're going to see the whole picture. We often focus on a piece of the puzzle and miss the whole picture. Don't we do that? We are humans, and we always do that. There are many unbalanced Christians in our churches today that fall into different extremes. Why? Because they don't have the eagle's view. They don't have the bird's eye view. They don't have the whole picture. They just see one little isolated thing. They build their whole religious experience around one aspect or one idea, one ideology. They take it and make it the gospel truth, and they're so unbalanced, they forget the whole rest of the scripture because they don't have that view, that new perspective that God can offer to us. If we want to see everything from God's perspective, from His eagle view, we must do one thing. We must wait on the Lord. You must wait on the Lord. Do you feel sometimes that you cannot endure the hard circumstances of life any longer? The Bible tells us in Luke 21:26 that this is going to be a condition of many people in the last days, including Christians. And Luke 21:26 says this: people will faint from terror. They will faint, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. We are all there, aren't we? When we look at all the news and everything that is happening in the world, we are ready to faint. Some translations say lose heart or faint. We are apprehensive of what is coming. So how does this passage in Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 31, help us during these times when we feel like we're going to faint under all these terrible circumstances that are coming into our life? How is this passage can take us through this? Let's look at this a little bit closely. And once again, I'll start in verse 27. If you go in verse 27 of chapter 40, this is the question. Remember what was the question? Well, Isaiah is asking the Israelites, why are you saying that God doesn't take care of you, that He's forgot about me, that He's not there for me? And in verse 28, Isaiah responds with another question. He's not going to go into a lot of argument with the Israelites. What does he do? He uses a very interesting trick. He's answering a question with a question. I learned that that's the best way to do it. That's the best way to do it. And what's the question in verse 28? Have you not known, says Isaiah? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither what? Faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So when the Israelites were complaining that God doesn't hear them, Isaiah doesn't respond, well, let me reason with you. No, what he does, he points them to God and says, God doesn't faint. You are ready to faint, but God doesn't. He has enormous amount of strength, and he can share that with you only if you wait on him. Isaiah is saying here, God is very, very powerful. He's all powerful. The creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't faint. This is a good news for us, for those who are ready to faint, isn't it? For those who are weary. You may grow faint, but God doesn't faint. God is an endless source of strength, and he gives it generously to all of us. Drew Hunter says this in one of his articles. He says, if we think that God is too great to be concerned about us, which Israelites were thinking, we actually don't believe he's great enough. God's greatness is not just that he's strong, but that he's strong for us. God's glory is not just that he has power, but that he loves to use it to help those who are in need. God is not too great to care. He's too great not to care. Love that quote. In all our weariness, then how do we get the strength? We may expect Isaiah here in Isaiah 40 to share the wisdom of physical rest and exercise and diet, you know, if you need some strength, and he doesn't do that. But while those are important, they're all God-given, you know, physical rest, exercise, and diet for us to be stronger. We need deeper strength than that. Isaiah acknowledges this in verse 30, where he says, if you look in verse 30 with me, he says there, even the youth, even the young ones shall what? Shall faint. Now, what is Isaiah saying here? He's saying that those who are in their prime of health and strength, those young ones, in their perfect health and their prime, they also have limits. This is what God is saying. They also faint. The only way not to do it, how is it? It's in verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord, those are the ones who are not going to faint. We need a stronger strength to match our deep discouragement. Just to do exercise and be healthy, which are good things, it's not going to help us. We need something stronger. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. God is not saying here, it's not those who work for the Lord shall renew their strength, but those who what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This isn't about doing our part and asking God to do the rest. God's greatness is not just that He is strong, but that He's strong for us. And He wants to share that strength with you. This isn't about showing God how strong we are. You know, the young guys, when they start working out, they like to flex their muscles and show it to everybody. And sometimes we are the same in our Christian experience. We like to show God how strong we are, that we can do it on our own, that we don't need God. That's not what this is all about. Here, what we do when we come to God, we do one simple thing. We admit that we are weak and He is strong. That's it. That's what we do. When we are the weakest, God is the strongest in our lives. We acknowledge that we need the strength only that God can give us. And then we wait for Him, which is more than just passing time, as I said. Waiting on the Lord means to wait on God's providential care. Waiting on the Lord is expectant trust and hope. So when you wait on the Lord, it means you trust God that He's going to act in His timing, not in our timing. All right? We depend on God and so we are subjecting our will, His terms, and His timing. We always want answers right away, isn't it? We do. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to wait on You, that means we must be patient and wait on God. Not like Abraham and Sarah couldn't wait anymore for God's promise. They say, we'll take matters in our own hands. And that's what we like to do as well. When you wait on the Lord, you wait on His timing. Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 6, Paragraph 25, Ellen White says this, as we approach the end of Earth's history, we shall have increased power. We shall renew our strength every day, proportionate to the trials to which we are subjected. We are not to keep ourselves in a state of worry and doubt, binding up our souls in the perplexities of unbelief and worldliness, in worrying and scolding and fretting, but wait on the Lord in perfect obedience to His will. And we shall see the salvation of God from day to day. He always gives strength as our day shall be. Strength and grace proportionate to the trials and tests and conflicts we are obliged to meet. So God gives you strength proportionate to the trials that you are going to have. You must claim that promise in your life. Do you believe in that? Do you believe that God can renew your strength? Then wait on the Lord. You must wait on Him every day. Life can be very discouraging. And of course, we all go through those discouraging things. Since I came back, I've been hearing a lot of families in our churches have lost loved ones. So perhaps you or someone that you love are facing illness or a situation that scares you to death and you're almost ready to faint. Or perhaps some of you have either lost your job or facing the prospect of losing your job. There is a lot of those in our churches. And as I said, some of you have recently lost loved ones or perhaps close friends. If you have been feeling down and discouraged and disappointed or even depressed, The answer is wait on the Lord. That's it. That's the only answer you can have. You know, I was looking in Hebrew, and the root word for the word wait, it means to twist together as a cord or rope, giving us extra strength. You know, when you add extra strength, you take two and you twist them together, and the rope becomes stronger. So when we are discouraged, we wait, we must wait. In other words, we must weave ourselves around God, creating a stronger cord that can withstand the challenges. That's what it means to wait. Twined with God, your rope will be unbreakable. Let me conclude this story. Dr. John Claypool. He served as the pastor of the Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And several years ago, he had a young daughter who was suffering from leukemia, from cancer. When she went into remission, everyone was so happy and they hoped that, you know, she had been healed, but unfortunately, leukemia came back. After suffering terribly for 2 weeks, this little girl looked up at her father who was beside her, and she said to him, "Daddy, did you talk to God about my leukemia?" Well, he assured her that he did, that he talked to God about that, and that many other people were praying for her healing. Then she looked at him and said, "Daddy, what did God say when you asked him how long the leukemia would last? What do you say to that?" Claypool was physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted at that time. You can imagine. And he really didn't know how to respond to his daughter's question. And just a few hours later, she died. Later on, he wrote a book. And in his book, Tracks of a Fellow Struggler, he called it, he recalls this incident and he says this: "What do you say to your daughter when you can't help her and the heavens are silent?" The next Sunday morning, he was in the pulpit in his church and he was going to preach the sermon. A week after. I don't know if I would be able to do that. So many of the members of Crescent Hill Baptist Church will tell you that it was the most powerful sermon that he ever preached. And the sermon was on Isaiah 40, verse 31. In that sermon, Dr. Claypool said something like this: "There are three stages of life," he says. "Sometimes we mount up with wings like eagles and soar to new heights. During this stage of our lives, we feel great and everything around us is going great. We couldn't be happier," he says, "during this stage. Sometimes we run and don't grow weary. We just cruise through our daily routine. During this time in life," he says, "we are so busy that we don't take the time to stop and reflect on everything that God has done for us and how he has blessed us during our lives. We just run. But then," he says, "comes the time in our lives when all we can do is just walk and not faint." Dr. Claypool looked at his congregation. It was packed that morning. And he confessed to them, and he says that that was exactly where he was at that particular time in his life. He said, "I'm just able to walk right now. That's all I can do." And he said to them, "Please pray for me and my family." At one of the lowest points in his life, he preached one of the most influential and powerful messages of his ministry. God gave him that strength to do that. because a lot of people in his congregation needed to hear that. And you know what? When you are going through those trials, God can give you the same strength to be a powerful influence to others. You never know how God might use your circumstance, your experience, to bless others. So, some of you today might be mounting on eagle's wings at this point in your life. And praise God for that. I want to hear those experiences, the mountaintop experiences, the eagle view experiences. I want to hear those. Praise God for those experiences in your life. Others here in this congregation might be running the race, just cruising through life at this point, running to and fro and trying to keep up. But many of you today, I believe, might be just walking and barely holding on, trying to not faint under the weight of all the trials in your life. At this point, this is all you can do. You can just walk at this point. You can't fly, you can't run, you can just walk. And I want to tell you, just keep on walking. God gives us the strength to walk and not faint. The only thing we need to do is to remember that, especially during these trying times, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to completely trust Him during these trying times. So God is saying to you today, to all of us today, wait, don't faint. May God bless you. Amen.